Elisa, that was beautiful. I taught her that. I lie. Before I get started here, there's a couple women came up to me down at when we had the Sabbath in the park after I had spoken, and they said, "You didn't finish it." You know, I'm going to lower this thing. It's right in my eyeballs. You tall guys can bring it back up. Anyway, I spoke on tithing. And this man named Ed Smith, and not the Ed Smith in Cincinnati that we learned to love so much, wasn't him. But this Ed Smith had a well drilling business. And it was way back during the time of the Depression. And he didn't have much work. But he did go to church in Mr. Armstrong's church. But he didn't profess to be a Christian. He just went because his wife went. And he would go up and down the country road, though, talking to his neighbors, telling them how they should live, telling them how they should read the Bible. One of his topics was tithing. And one of his neighbors, he was talking about tithing, and the neighbor said, "Well, Mr. Smith, how can you teach us how to tithe when you don't do it?" He said, "Well, you profess to be a Christian, and I don't. Besides, I can't afford to." Well, making the story short, he started tithing. He started getting business. He got so much business that he started hiring men to help him. But then his wife and his daughter got tuberculosis and had to be put in a hospital. You know, back then they had to quarantine them. I guess, I don't know if you still do or not. And I didn't finish that part of it. So they asked me about it. Yes, he went to Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong went to the hospital and prayed for them, laid hands on them, and they were healed. And they came back home. End of that story. Okay. I finished it. So today, the question is, many people wonder about why temporary dwellings. So if you want a title today, it's why temporary dwellings. And there are a lot of questions and there's a lot of answers about temporary dwellings. In the millennium depicted by the soon to come Feast of Tabernacles, which is what, 53 weeks away? The Feast of Tabernacles, 3 weeks away. The whole world will be filled with the knowledge of God. Those many questions will be answered. And those who are asking will know at that time. Why temporary dwellings? Jesus Christ will be administering God's government and ruling all nations at that time. Every person on earth will know and will understand the reason for this human life. No longer will the knowledge about the incredible human potential, it won't be suppressed. It won't be suppressed by diabolical forces that we have today. People everywhere will at last know the reason why they were born. All over the world, the true religion of God will be the only religion at that time. Today, we don't know how many different denominations there are in this world. We don't know how many, but there are very many. I'd like to turn to Matthew 16, verse 18. I'm talking about the many, many denominations. Matthew 16, verse 18. Verse 18, it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And when it says church, I don't see an S there. So it's singular. It's not plural. It's singular. Well, how do we find this true church? This one church that Christ is going to build. How do we find it? Well, we must study all scriptures in the Bible, and God will give us the answer. The Bible gives us enough information to know where that true church is. You know, when you listen to these other churches, and if you try to study it, if you try to go along with them in the Bible, you'll find out that they're adding their own scriptures. If I guess that's what you'd say. They're adding their own words to it. And they're taking away from parts of it. But if we truly study, if we truly fast, and we pray about it, we will know, brethren, where the true church is. I want to turn back to Psalms 15. Psalms 15, I'm going to read that whole chapter. It's not very long. It's only five scriptures here. Five paragraphs. Psalms 15, verse 1, it says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. He who swears to his own heart hurt and does not change, and he who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." In every facet of society, true values will be recaptured at that time. And the rejoicing will be great. That's what we're supposed to do at the feast. Have a rejoicing time. God tells us to rejoice. But what does all this exciting news about the way the world will be, what's it got to do with my topic, why temporary dwellings? Well, I got down here plenty, as we shall see. What is a tabernacle? What is a tabernacle? What's a booth? Not booze, a booth. Tents. What's tents? or feast. You know, they're all temporary dwellings, aren't they? They're all temporary dwellings. So the Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Booths means the Feast of Temporary Dwellings. It was among the feasts of God that God gave to ancient Israel to keep them mindful of His promise, of His purpose. But the Israelites rebelled against God. As a result, they went into captivity and they lost all that knowledge that they had. I forgot I stapled my notes together. So later on, a Jewish remnant returned to their homeland under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah. And the period witnessed a revival of the true religion, during which the following remarkable discovery was made in the scriptures. So let's turn to Nehemiah 8. Almost lost Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, we're going to read verse 14 and 15. Nehemiah 8, verse 14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in temporary dwellings. Doesn't say that in your Bible, says booths. Same thing. During the feast of the seventh month, which is the Feast of Tabernacle. And that they shall, verse 15, and that they shall announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make your temporary dwelling, as it is written. So they found in the law of God that all was to dwell in temporary dwellings during the Feast of Tabernacles. So now let's go ahead and read verse 16 and 17. Verse 16, then the people went out and brought them and made themselves. They brought all this stuff that was in verse 15. And they made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his own house. What? He put a temporary dwelling on the roof of his own house. What it says here. Let's go on. Each one on the roof of his own house, or in the courtyard, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and the open square of the gate of Ephraim. Verse 17. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under them. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until the day the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Now, do you wonder why they made booths, they made lean-tos, temporary dwellings on top of their house? We'll find out here in a little bit. The feast had never been nationally observed in the correct manner since the days of Joshua. The handful of people made themselves booths and lean-tos from branches in these shelters they lived during the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to turn to Leviticus 23 now. It was in here. I know it's in here. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. I'm going to read 39 through 43. Leviticus 23, verse 39. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a holy conversation. Conversation? It's a holy day. The first, very first day is a holy day. And on the eighth day, of course, that's the last great day, and that's also a Sabbath. It's a holy day. In verse 40, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Eternal your God for 7 days. The Feast of Tabernacles again. Verse 41, you shall keep it as a feast to the Eternal for 7 days in a year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, in temporary dwellings. Right there's kind of an answer in it. You shall keep it as a feast to the Eternal for 7 days. In a year, it shall be statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And verse 42 again, you shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in them. Well, if they have the Feast of Tabernacles in your town, like back then, they put their booths on top of their house for a temporary dwelling. And that's where they lived for 7 days. There in the courtyard. Nowadays, some people will exchange homes. So, it's your temporary dwelling just for time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because you're not supposed to stay in your home. You're supposed to stay in a temporary dwelling. Verse 43. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in temporary dwellings when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. As the Israelites journeyed from Egypt, they had to live in temporary dwellings, which I don't know for sure about. Like in the deserts, would they have material there to make them lean-tos even? Or did they have to bring material with them when they left Egypt? And this was one of the things I talked about at the feast in Cincinnati, was they had a lot of stuff they had to bring out of Egypt, crossing that Red Sea and coming across the deserts. Anyway, a lot of them had tents because they was tent makers. But the thing is, they had to dwell in temporary dwellings because in 40 years, nobody had a permanent dwelling. So every day they would take their tents down, and nights they would put them up. Or they would build their little lean-tos or their shelters. Take it down, carry it to the next stop, put it up. How would you like to live like that? It really doesn't matter what the booths or dwellings are made of in our day and age. But back then, they were made of branches. They had to be made of branches. Or some, like I said, had tents. Today they may be canvas tents. A lot of people camp when they go to the Feast of Tabernacles. They may be canvas tents. They may be travel trailers. camper trailers made of probably aluminum. But most of them are brick motels, aren't they? Hotels, condominiums, cabins in the mountain. But the important part is that they be places of temporary dwellings where you're at the Feast of Tabernacles. But why was Israel to spend the feast in temporary dwellings? Well, we can go back to verse 43 again, and it tells you why. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel dwell. God made them dwell in temporary dwellings. When he brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. After the tribes of Israel came out of Egypt, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before going in and possessing the promised land that God promised them. Setting up their tents day by day, night by night, take them down, set them up. Pulling them tents down and moving them every day, that probably was a chore also. And they wandered, you know, from place to place every day. The Israelites were heirs of the land that God had promised to them. They were heirs, but they were not yet inheritors. They were merely heirs waiting to become inheritors of the land of Canaan, the land that God promised them. So that is why they lived in temporary dwellings. They were sojourners, pilgrims. They lived in the world of the wilderness. They lived there day and night, moving here and moving there. But they were not of it. They lived there, moving around, but they were not of it. Their inheritance was elsewhere. Abraham was a pilgrim, or had been a pilgrim, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. And he obeyed, not even knowing exactly where he was going to go. He obeyed by faith. He sojourned. He stayed in temporary dwellings on the way. Abraham, in faith, looked for that new Jerusalem and that glorious kingdom of God, which he pretty well knew that he was going to inherit. He and other saints, but they died in faith, not having received the promise yet. They died in faith, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Well, guess what, brethren? We live in this world, but we're just sojourning, waiting for the promise that God has given to us. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, and I'm going to read verse 11 through 15. First Peter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In verse 13, therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme. Now, when I read this, I think about if you're going down the highway and you're running 65 and the speed limit's 55 and you get pulled over. He comes up to your window and says, what did I do wrong, sir? Well, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. In verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Like I said, brethren, we are strangers and pilgrims in this life, and we are sojourners. We are in the wilderness of the world, but we, like Abraham, we're not of the world, but we have to live here. We're not of it. Brethren, we, like those Israelites, are right now sojourning in this world, heading for that promised land that God has promised us, which you know is the kingdom of God. And that's a promise. We are mortal beings made of the dust of the ground. And you can read that back in Genesis. The human existence is truly fleeting. Here today and gone tomorrow. Here today and gone tomorrow. Let's turn to James 4. James 4, I'm going to read verse 14 to 17. James 4, verse 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Here today and gone tomorrow. You do not know what's going to happen. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Everything should be according to God. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do, to him it is sin. You know, only a few people today on this earth are blessed, brethren, with the knowledge that we are getting, the knowledge that we have. We're truly blessed to have that knowledge, to know the true scriptures that God has given to us. We've got to realize, and we know why we were born, what our true potential has been. In the millennium, however, the whole world will understand the purpose for life and what the human potential will be. They will know in the millennium. They will know why we have to dwell in temporary dwellings at the Feast of Tabernacles. Sometime we will go from mortal life, sometime we will go from mortal life, and we will become heirs. And we will become immortal inheritors of the kingdom of God, brethren. We will. So by living in temporary dwellings during the Feast of Tabernacles, we portray a world during the millennium in which everyone understands the truth of what life is all about and then. All mortals are destined to die. Destined to die. Only by receiving the germ of eternal life from God's Holy Spirit can a person hope to live forever. As Christians, we have that eternal life abiding in us. Now let's turn to John 5, which is just across John 5, verse 11 to 15. I got the wrong one here. John 5, not Peter, 1 Peter. I think I'm getting Mr. Shoemaker's voice. John 5, verse 11. We're going to read 11 through 15. Verse 11, and this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears our prayers, brethren. He hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. These physical bodies of ours, brethren, with all of their imperfections, all of the selfish desires that we have, their weaknesses that we have, yes, even the aches and pains, and I've talked to a few of them here today that are not without them, aches and pains. I hauled a lot of wood yesterday. And yesterday evening when I was done, my right wrist was hurting, my right knee was hurting, and my left ankle was hurting. I got up this morning and I felt pretty good. Just lost my page. So, we live now in temporary dwellings. We do that. Our lives right here on earth are temporary. We are temporary dwellings. But soon, brethren, we will fold this old tent up, this old temporary dwelling up for the last time. We will fold it up. Then we will have that permanent dwelling place with our elder brother and soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our elder brother Jesus Christ. We will be with Him. And I'm going to emphasize that part where we must qualify. Brethren, in order to qualify, we got to study and study. We got to fast about it. We got to pray about it. And we got to know that we know. We got to know. We got to learn if we want to be in the kingdom of God. We got to know. So we might ask ourselves, and I think Mr. Evans covered this once, We might ask ourselves, how responsive are we to God's directions? How responsive are we to reading all the scriptures in the Bible to know that Jesus Christ built his true church. Only one church. Are we always prepared to forsake anything that means every earthly tie that would hinder us from obeying God? Brethren, when Christ talked about that, he's talking about anything here on earth that might keep us from obeying God and being heirs to the kingdom of God. And I don't remember the scripture right now, but it says that we should love God more than our family. Doesn't mean we love our family less. By all means, it does not mean that. But we need to love God enough that if we have to, we must be ready to leave our unconverted friends and our unconverted families. And that's hard. So we need to ask ourselves this question. Are we ready right now to do that? Are we ready? If not, brother, we got to get ready. And we got to leave these old temporary dwellings, which is our bodies. And we must get prepared for the kingdom of God. So I hope now you know what temporary dwellings are. And here in about 3 weeks, we will be going to the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Temporary Dwellings.